It's another great week of What Do You Know with Joe. Let's get to the great intro.
Sit down and chop it up. Let's talk about it.
Well, let's ask the right question.
Who's convinced?
We're starting to see the mind frame stuff now.
It's What Do You Know with Joe. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another great episode of What Do You Know with Joe. As always, we've got Baxter, we've got Winnie, we've got Lindsay, and the little Nugget's doing great. This week, I have some great guests joining me, my brother, Anthony Cafiro, and his co-worker, Jay Bergentin. Both Ann and Jay are in the brewing business as cellar manager and head brewers for Old Busthead Brewing Company as well. I believe Jay's actually gone to a new company, but we wish him all the best still. We dive into the nitty-gritty of one of the oldest pastimes and something I think a lot of people love, which is beer. We describe, but we go into all details about the ins and outs, the to and fros, what goes into it, distribution. Jay jumps into, you know, that aspect of the business and talks about how, you know, beer is kind of created. And it's just a great overall conversation. Anyone who's interested in beer or wants to learn more about beer, this would be a great episode to get started with. It's a great conversation. We do ask the famous fifth grader question as well. And we kind of give them some opportunities to, being so close to the beer industry, give out some of the favorite ones that they like. It's a great, great, great conversation and great time. So tune in, check it out. And as they know, the holidays are getting closer and you might be scrambling to get a gift. You don't know what to do. What do? Look no further than Sneakerhead Golf Company. You guys have probably heard from me talking left and right about it. I have a promo code you can use, Joe15. Get a 15% discount. Who doesn't love discounts? They have some great apparel. Not only for golfers, but for those who like golf apparel. They have some great head covers. The most unique and customizable head covers I've ever seen. Go check them out. Your loved one or significant other who is a golf fanatic or, you know, is curious about anything, wants to get into golf apparel, this is the best place to start. Use Joe15. Let's jump into the episode with Ann and Jay. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of What Do You Know with Joe. I have Jay Bergentin joining me and my brother Anthony Cafiro, both very knowledgeable about the beer industry, and they're going to tell us a little bit more about it. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, of course. Appreciate it.
Before we jump into the questions, actually, because we kind of talked this before, can I ask what beer you're both drinking right now?
Anthony goes first.
Okay. Joe, you might know this one from Uncle Matt, but I'm having a Barn Rocker.
Right on.
Yeah, go Islanders. So, yeah, Oyster Bay Brewing, really one of the only beers that I've had from them, but very, very tasty. And
yeah. Can you tell me what kind of beer it is? Like, do you know?
It's a session ale. So 4.5%. Okay. Yeah. Jay was asking a little bit before this too. It is not a session IPA, but there is a difference, but yeah. So.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Swinging it over to you, Jay. What do you got?
I'm drinking Old Busthead's Kölsch, our Kölsch.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah. I've had that one. That's a good one. Love a good Kölsch too. And Old Busthead is a good one. Well, that's great to hear. So, as we both know, you both are, well, I know, but can't wait for everyone to know, you both are in the beer making process. What are your current roles, and maybe what is something about your brewery, like something about the brewery, like industry, or maybe something like with your role people may not know? And we'll start with you, Jay. We'll start with you.
Yeah, sure. So I am, I'm the brewmaster at Old Busthead. It's kind of a silly title, I know, but it's my title nonetheless. So. So basically, so that's my role. I kind of just manage production. Anthony does all the brewing. I do all the kind of, you know, forecasting, logistics, all that stuff. And something interesting about Old Busthead is we're the largest solar brewery in Virginia. And we're also, we're also the first in Virginia to be utilizing CO2 recapture technology. So basically every beer that we ferment, we capture and reuse the CO2. So we're the first in Virginia to do that. So
that's really cool. I think that's something very knowledgeable, and also way to be recycling, Old Busthead. What is solar? What does it mean to be a solar brewery? Like, what does that mean?
Yeah, so we have a the largest like solar farm, largest brewery with a the largest solar farm basically, and, and so that so 50% of our energy comes from the solar panels on our roof.
That's really cool. So wow, not only are you recycling the CO2, you guys are a very not only efficient brewery but a very environmentally friendly brewery. I respect that. Everyone, absolutely. That's what's up. Awesome. Ant, turn it over to you.
So I am the cellar manager at Old Busthead. Basically, mainly run the day-to-day operations that Jay passes along to me. So along with brewing, I mainly is responsible for the cold side of beer. So anything that's happening during fermentation, taking gravities, making sure that the beer is doing exactly what it needs to do, and then relaying that information onto Jay along with our QA/QC person, Erica Davidson. So yeah, so we work together very well. We do have a couple brewers along with us as well, so I don't brew all the time. I do some inventory and a bunch of other business side of things, but yeah, so making sure that the beer is doing exactly what it needs to do and relaying that information on is pretty much the necessary of my position. Yeah, one other thing that that we do utilize along the eco-friendly aspect is geothermal. So we utilize that aspect for, I believe, our walk-in cooler. And yeah, that's just another way that we kind of give back to the environment. So
yeah, dang. Yeah. For those who, the first 5 minutes of this has been Old Busthead is environmentally friendly. So you both meet, like, work with each other on a daily basis pretty closely. Is that a fair statement? You guys probably talk to each other probably multiple times throughout the day. And this may seem like an easy question, and Jay will swing it back over to you. What is it about beer that fascinates you? I feel I know most people are like, because it tastes good or something, but I feel as though, especially working in the industry, is there a special fascination you have with beer?
Yeah, I think what really is it me or, sorry
my you know, this is funny. Let's go with Ant and Tony. Okay. I was gonna say, how about this? Moving forward, also every time I ask a question, we'll switch one.
Yeah.
So Ant, go ahead.
So what? Obviously, Jay's been in it a lot longer than I have, but what really kind of made me focus on beer was just how I think of it as a blank canvas, right? So there is an art to it to an extent. So you can do so much with beer, and there's so many different styles and. I mean, you can get really into it. So many different yeast strains and grain that you can use, hops, you know, the list goes on and on. So I just love that you can come into your work every day and want to build something completely different with each batch. And you find that the things that you're good at, you find the beers that your company's going to like and your demographic likes, but then you can also just completely blow it out of proportion and have fun with it. So it is something that every day you can... There are new trends and there's new ways and new styles of brewing. So it's definitely something that's going to keep on moving on, even though there's a lot of craft breweries out there, especially now compared to 20 years ago. But yeah.
It sounded like you said crap breweries, but you said craft. So I'm just going to make that clear. And throwing shade out here to other people, but it's craft. And then switching it over to you, Jay.
Yeah, it was almost like a Freudian slip, I think.
Mm-hmm. you got me.
So what fascinates me about just beer in general, not just the brewing industry, is beer is like, it's been around for thousands of years, right? It's actually, I think the first recipe was from the Hymn to Ninkasi. I'm sure Anthony's heard about this. So basically, it's this recipe on a tablet that the Sumerians created. Like, it's basically a prayer giving thanks to the goddess of brewing. And this is like 3,000 years ago, you know?
Damn.
Yeah, it's fascinating to know that this beer has been made for, you know, at least 7,000 years, maybe longer. And it's always been made, the first couple of millennia it was being made. It was really consumed because it was safer than water, you know? And so that's still fascinating. Fermentation is fascinating to me, that we take this little fungus, it multiplies rapidly, and then just, we can reuse it as many times as we want. You know, it's really, really cool. And it always it still excites me when we create a new beer and we brew it and we, you know, extend the generations. It's really, really cool. So
yeah. I think that's fascinating that you said that, like, at one point it was safer to drink beer than it is water. Like, that's crazy. And also I that's a code to live by, honestly. You could use it. So like, when did you start first getting in, Jay? Like, when did you first start, you know, getting into like making beer?
So I was commercial brewing before I was home brewing. Okay. And so I started back in 2009 working at a brew pub, and I was working there probably in the front of house, like as a server or busser, bartender or something like that. And it was a seasonal thing. So my wife and I were living on Martha's Vineyard, and I just really got fascinated with the beer and the brewing and what went into it. And so I begged the brewmaster to let me volunteer. And so that's what I did for like 10 months, you know, without pay. So that's how I got into it, just volunteer. And so I started off with kegs and cleaning growlers and stuff like that. So
the nitty gritty and like, same with you. I mean, like, I honestly can't remember the like first time you started making beer. I know you've been around alcohol. That sounds weird for me to say, because for those, it did work at a winery before this too, but like, when did you first start getting into like making beer?
Yeah, it's a little different story on that end. Technically, making is when I shadowed Jay at a boardroom in Arlington. So yeah, Jay is the reason why I am where I am today, just for that purposes. Yeah,
wow, really, full circle.
Yeah. The beer was not my first, as you know, my first career goal, but I'm glad that I am where I am today. Technically, first making beer was when I was shadowing Jay at Boardroom, helping out him with brewing processes and stuff like that. But really, Old Busthead is where I really started. Luckily enough, I was able to take over for someone that was leaving, and then just started groundwork from there. So grunt work, cleaning kegs, you know, helping with packaging, stuff like that. And then basically a year after that is when I really started getting a better understanding of beer, mainly just brewing, not really know what I'm doing. I'm good with the equipment, but not really like, oh, this is, you know, there's a lot more to this. And then it just goes on and on from there. So 4 years ago, technically, four and a half years ago is when, I met Jay at Barrel Oak Winery, when I was just pouring wine and beer, and he was the head brewer there. So, when they first started their brewery. So just getting to meet him long ago and just talking beer with him, and then realizing that, hey, this is something that I want to do. And grateful for him to look out for me. So
and you both kind of mentioned it, and it kind of leads me into my next question, like, especially like for those who don't know, would you like, is that, I guess, what's the official like title for that, but like, what would you say is like the entry level work for getting into brewery? Is it like that cleaning out growlers and kegs and things like that, or like, what is the first level of like getting into that? And
I would say that most people, I mean, at least for me, from my perspective, is getting in somewhere where eventually you have other aspirations, but you got to at least show that you're willing to work. And even now, I mean, you're still cleaning kegs, you're still doing stuff, but really in the beginning, you're doing the grunt work stuff. Cleaning kegs, helping with packaging, working in the tap rooms. I mean, every brewery is different, so you might be doing everything all at once, but just really starting on the ground level and working your way up. So it does sound similar to most businesses, but you really do have to put the work in and show that you're willing to make those strides before getting, you know.
Okay.
Up. Yeah. So.
And Jay, like, is that like, what was like when you were in Martha's Vineyard, like, what was that title called?
that's a good question. Cellar rat, maybe. I don't know. But I
put that on a resume. I was a cellar rat from O-Tour, like, from 08 to like 2012, you know.
Fortunately for me, I was we were a team of three people, so two full-time people and then me, who was volunteering. And the assistant brewer moved on, I forget when, maybe 2011, and so that's kind of when I filled that role. So assistant brewer really, you know, packaging assistant or seller worker or something like that. Entry level, it's kind of dependent on the needs, but usually it's into that, you know, seller packaging assistant role.
Mm-hmm. I get that. And I'm curious to see how both of you answer this question. And we'll start with you, Jay. From like, I'm talking like the tallest view, like 1,000 feet view up, because I know we only have like this much time. What is it like? Tell us a little bit about like the start to finish process of like making a beer, like mainly maybe the parts people don't necessarily know about, but like, you know, it's not, it's not like, you know, everyone, I think it's, there's one, there's probably a misconception around it, and two, like, I think there is like a true lack of awareness of like how actually, like, you know, from the, you know, when you go inside or like when you go to get your beer, like what went into that.
Right. Yeah. There's so much that goes into it, but,
I'm sure. Let's see.
1,000 foot view.
Tall order. So, it's a tall order to like be like, hey, take this huge process and make it about this small.
No, that's cool. I like doing this because I, you know, I like having a conversation with someone, and I understand that we talk turkey every day, and so we know the lingo, we know what goes into it. But I enjoy explaining this. So basically, brewing is steeping cereal grains in hot water in a process called mashing. And what that does is it breaks down enzymes and turns starches into sugar. And so essentially we just have sugar water. So we take that sugar water, we boil it, we add hops, and then we chill it down and throw yeast in. And a couple weeks later we have beer. The part that people, I think, don't really know about is it's, you know, brewing is like 95% cleaning and sanitizing. And so, everything after the boil kettle, which is, you know, when you're boiling, you're not really worried about sanitation. But after the boil kettle, everything after that needs to be not just spotless, but, you know, 99.9% free from microbes. Just because no human pathogen can live in beer, technically, because of the alcohol and the pH. But there are microbes that can spoil the beer. And Anthony and I know full well, there are several that just... They just devastate beer. Sometimes they make the beer taste okay, but most of the time it's not really what we want, especially in a brewery like Old Busted where we're distributing and we're trying to be consistent. So that's what most people I think don't see, is that we're glorified janitors. So, and Anthony's like the number one glorified janitor. No offense to him. That's I say that glowingly and lovingly. Anthony is kind of the man that makes sure that we are contamination free and just holds it down in the cellar. So
he's a pretty clean guy, so I get that. All right, first off, Jay, that was brilliant, because that was literally like that, and like when you said that, I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Right. I get that. Similar over to you, I guess you don't have to necessarily go into the full process, but would you say, like, similarly, that's how you would describe it to maybe people?
Yeah, I mean, and it just depends on what you're brewing that day. So yes, you're still making those conversions from starches to sugars and everything like that. Processing that wort, making sure it gets to a boil, everything like that. So really just the only difference from that point on, that's just as that generality is, then you're just, you know, what yeast are you using, what grain, hops, all that stuff for different styles of beer. But yeah, no, that's basically it. And it does depend on certain beers need a different boil time. It depends on what grain you use, to use an hour boil, 2 hour boil, 90 minute boil. You know, it does vary on that aspect. But yeah, for the most part, yes, to Jay's point, once you're done boiling, it's very important to keep a sanitary condition, because as soon as you kind of have some sort of mental shutdown, brain fart, whatever you want to call it, and there's a hiccup, you can be in some serious trouble if you don't catch it early. Definitely being sanitized and basically maintaining a clean environment is very, very key, especially once you even after it's done fermenting, especially when you're going into bright tanks and right before you're serving and everything like that, filtering, transferring it from the fermenter to the bright tank, or even if you're going straight from fermenter to keg or anything like that. Yeah, you got to make sure that, especially if you're distributing like we are, You never know if you aren't doing that process correctly. You never know when that beer is going to spoil. So
would you say those are like the two harder parts of like your job? I guess like, would you out of your whole job in your day to day, like, would you say like, because as Jay mentioned, a lot of it's pretty much cleaning. Would you say like part of that cleaning is like one of the more difficult parts?
Yeah. I mean, it is, you know, doing it every day. You don't think of it as hard, right? You know, as soon as you have someone that comes into production or whatever, and you're trying to explain it to them, you get a really good idea of what you do. But no, yeah. So like, yes, as Jay said, we are janitors and we're constantly cleaning tanks and everything like that. So I don't consider it hard. I want to say that as a, you know, being cocky or anything like that. I don't mean it that way at all, but it is, you know, I think those, day-to-day roles that we're doing, those jobs aren't, yeah. I don't consider difficult, but learning those processes, especially if you're getting to the point where brewing and then understanding, techniques and, then when you go on to, when you go on the colder side, understanding the importance of keeping a sanitary environment and everything like that can be difficult to grasp at first, because you just don't think of it as you maybe just don't see it as an important factor. But yes, yeah, no, it can be. Like, okay. I don't know hard is the correct word, but
sure.
Yeah, just not taking anything for granted, right? You know, you do this every day, and making sure that you're essentially as perfect as possible.
Right.
Yeah.
So Jay, as like a seller manager, correct? Like what would you say maybe is one of the harder aspects of like your role in that? And maybe if it isn't cleaning, like what are some of the harder aspects of that job?
I'm sorry, you said seller manager?
Yeah, was that my role, Joe?
Oh, I messed them up. I am so sorry.
That's quite all right.
I'm gonna have to actually excuse myself because now I sound like an idiot. I do apologize.
We might look alike, but you know.
It's the beard, man.
Yeah, I guess. Look
so just
like
so we're clear again, it's the seller manager. What, Jay, your title exactly is?
Brewmaster.
Brewmaster.
See, I, for some reason, was like, okay, wait, that's CMX. So, and, well, then a good segue to that, like, it sounds like part of being the brewmaster. So, like, that's, we can dive into that in a second, because, like, how that logistics works out. But, so as a brewmaster, then, like, what would be the hardest, I mean, maybe some of the hardest aspects of those, like, day-to-day roles?
Right. So
you're like an idiot also, sorry.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Yeah. You know, I think it's funny because ultimately we're just making beer, you know, it's not like a brain surgery,
right.
But for my role, I think one of the hardest aspects of my role is, like juggling the production logistics, because I'm trying to be, you know, as efficient as I can with space and time, but I'm also considering the needs of my, you know, the production crew. So I think that everything else is, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, everything else is pretty easy. We work in an awesome industry and we work for awesome people at a really great brewery. So, but yeah, I think that's kind of the most difficult, is just really keeping things efficient and running smoothly and the crew happy and, you know, but again, it's like, it could be way worse, you know?
Yeah, right. No, 100%. And I'm going to jump questions here part of our like schedule. So would you say like a lot of the aspects of your day to day you think would be applicable to other jobs out there? Like you said, I know, and I'm not, you know, when my day to day, I know what I do is a brain surgery. Like that's, you know, it's technology stuff, but you know, would you say like, you know, let's say for some reason there's another prohibition starting tomorrow and you guys can't make beer anymore. Is there a lot of what you guys do, you think, there that could be, you know, applicable to other roles that other people could say, or, and then like vice versa, people could take the stuff that they do and bring it into, you know, whether it be a brewmaster and a cellar manager.
Yeah, totally. All across the board. I'll tell you what, if there was prohibition, I would continue to make beer, and I'm sure.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, especially in Anthony's role, for instance, I mean, attention to detail, and you have to have mechanical aptitude. You have to have, I mean, like I said, you're a janitor, but you're also the mechanic. You know, you're also, you know, you're the quality. We do all that. We do the sensory. So yeah, I think everything is really applicable to other, I don't know, industries, management, all that stuff. So yeah, yeah, totally. And vice versa. I think that we've had some really cool people that have helped us out in production, and they've, you know, the former brewmaster was a mechanical engineer, and it was an easy transition for him. You know, he designed most of like the piping and all that stuff. And we've had some other, I mean, Anthony studied for a long time doing something else, and he came in and was was great at what he's doing. And so, yeah, I think it's, I think brewers are pretty resilient, and they, you know, they, you have to be like a Renaissance men and women. So, and I think we would be fine if Prohibition happened, but like I said, we would still make it. We'd still make it for sure.
Right. And I'm curious to see how like you both would respond to this. And Ann, I'll start with you, because I'm curious to see if it's, you know, being that you both work at maybe the same brewery, how this answer might differ. And starting with you, what does it mean to you to make like a quality beer? Like, what does that mean? Like making quality beer?
The word I think of is consistency. So like everybody has a different perspective on what they think is good. Right. Like you never know, you know, like the, you have the IPA drinkers, you have the stout drinkers, porter. I mean, everybody has a different style that they like, but as long as you're consistent and you're keeping, as Jay mentioned, those sensory skills in check, and every batch is as close as possible to the next one, that's quality. Like our core beers are our core beers for a reason. So you can come in and have our Vixen, our Irish Red, or you can come in and our Caramel Macchiato and all of our Caramel Macchiato variants. You can still pick out those beers, and even though they're flavored a little different, and speaking for Caramel Macchiato, you can still tell, you can still be able to taste that base Caramel Macchiato versus all the other flavors. So in my opinion, quality beer is just consistency. And it's hard to get, it's hard to be consistent. You know, you gotta, there is a lot of trial and error. And as much as you maybe want to, brew all these different styles and because there are so many, but, I think just being consistent and finding your own niche, for sure. Yeah. That's my opinion of quality. Yeah.
Sure. Moving it over to you, Jay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, likewise, I think that consistency is important and definitely the answer. But otherwise, you know, I kind of what I look for in beer, I can always find a beer that I like at any brewery. You know, it's just ultimately what I do is I look for, you know, I taste a beer and I say, okay, does this have an off flavor? And Anthony knows, Anthony and I, we do this weekly. We look for off flavors. We train our palates on certain off flavors. And so that's kind of a sure sign to say this is a quality beer. And really, is it free from contamination? And I'd say that's quality. Again, the consistency is cannot be understated or overstated or whatever that phrase is. It's too many quotes. But I think this is kind of why you have to really respect the those bigger breweries, because they're consistency game is far, you know, it's way beyond what we're doing. It's every beer that you try from any of those, pick a Coors Banquet, it's always going to taste the same.
I was about to say it's always the same. It's the first Bud Light you pick up is the same as the 15th Bud Light you have.
Exactly.
Exactly. You got to have 15 of those, right? Because it's like water. I get, and this is a part I'm really excited for. And Jay, we'll start with you on this because I'm curious also to see what Ann says. So, like you said, and I think it's very applicable. You can go into most breweries and, you know, find a beer you like. Give me your top three favorite beer types and maybe a little reasoning why, you know, you like those top three. And then Ann, we'll shift it over to you.
Okay. Let's see. I'll try to be quick.
No, take your time.
Okay. So, my top three, I love. Well, let's go. Let's just stick with styles. I love Kolsch.
Okay. Yep.
I think Kolsch is excellent. It's one of those beers that, you know, like it's kind of a rebellious style. These brewers in Cologne have been brewing it for for so long, and they refused to kind of bow down to the lager brewers. And
yeah,
you know, the whole country of Germany was trying to get them to stop making what they're doing and start making lagers with them, you know. So but anyway, but not just the flavor. I love this, the history, and I love the beer itself.
Yeah.
Flemish red ales. Okay. Another one of my top three. I love Flemish red beers. They're pretty sour. They're tart. There's a little hint of vinegar. It's not overly tart. It's just when I first had it, it was probably in 2011 maybe. And as a young brewer, never trying something like that before, it kind of just blew my mind. And yeah. They're just so delicious. And then I think number three would just be IPAs in general. I love IPAs. And you can't go wrong. And there's so many, and I'm not just saying West Coast IPAs or New England style. I'm saying all IPAs. I love the fact that IPAs are kind of like the canvas that brewers are using to, you know, create, innovate, basically.
Yeah.
You know, you with new hops, there's new hops, there's new yeast strains for IPAs. So, yeah, those are my top three, I think. Eager to hear
real quick before we jump to you. Yeah, real quick, do you have any like honorable mentions or like ones that you were like, there maybe like I'll have it, but like it's not like my first choice?
Well, this is really difficult for me because I'm no joke, I love all beer. I have no like,
I get that. You know what I
mean? So just honorable mention, yeah, hell yeah, a brown ale.
And okay,
it's not a super sexy style, but man, when you have a really classic chocolatey, nutty brown ale, it's super smooth and light. It's a mind-blowing, delicious beer. Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. hey. Sometimes you don't need that. You know, who needs right. Sometimes you don't need the flash. All right, Ant, let me hear you.
No, just based off of that brown ale note, one of the first beers that I tried was when Jay gave me a Samuel Smith nut brown ale. I mean that's an old, very, very, very that. Old trip. I bought we went down to Carmine's. I brought a six pack. Yeah, no, that it's just a very, and then you just learn about the tradition and Samuel Smith just alone as far as how long they've been brewing. But no, top three, this is hard just in the sense of I'm still learning and I haven't been in the industry for very long, but right now, yeah. One of the first beers I ever had was a Belgian triple. Belgian beers, I've grown to really appreciate them from just all their esters and everything that you can produce from a Belgian beer, especially the yeast is amazing. From that point on, I'll have to go Witz. And if you told me that I would say Witz, I don't think I would believe you 5 years ago. But same thing. Allagash White is one of my favorite beers, and you know that can be categorized, yeah, like a wheat beer too. But I just love those flavors that you can get from a wit, especially those coriander and orange kind of peel flavors to it. The spicier the better, in my opinion. So. And then last but not least, if you want to round it out, I'm split between IPAs because IPAs were one of the first ones that I ever drank. And that's kind of how I got into brewing. You know, at that time there was, you know, any, so you can, I mean, even now you can still get IPAs wherever, but, yeah, that, or I've really been getting into the sour craze, which is kind of still going around, but, especially brewing sours and be able to see the, amazing characteristics that you get from kettle sour is really cool to understand what goes into those, that bacteria, yeah. And everything like that. Especially what we do at Old Busted, but I guess those three. It's hard though. It's hard because it's just, you know, I don't really have
I could see an
alternate or anything like that. It's just everywhere, to what Jay said earlier, everywhere I go, I try to get a different style that I haven't had in a while and never had before. You know, every time I see an alt beer, I'll try to try one of those or, you know, like, I've grown an appreciation for cask beers. I know, you know, Jay did one at Barrel Oak a long time ago and, mm-hmm. You don't really see them much anymore. I know they're more of a, obviously England style, for sure. But yeah,
It's a solid top
three. Yeah, cask beers are really cool, and yeah. I was gonna say, we can keep on going on and on, but yeah.
Yeah, and it sounds like you're almost doing yourself a disservice if you only like stick to like maybe like, oh, I'm only gonna drink IPAs or I'm only gonna drink wheat beers or something. Like you should want to venture out into those other types of beers because one, you don't know what you're missing, and two, there's just so much history with them that like, and like you guys keep saying, it's every beer is a canvas and each individual brewery might be doing something different. So you want to try. On the flip side of that, what are your least favorite types of beers or ciders or seltzers? Because I feel like it's just as important maybe to learn those as it is the others. So maybe do a tit for tat, and Jay, we'll flip it back over to you real quick.
Oh man, this is a hard one. I think if we're gonna throw in ciders and seltzers, I love ciders, I'd probably pick a seltzer. But then again, Anthony and I and the crew at Bull Busted, we made this like cucumber mint mojitos seltzer,
yeah,
which was actually pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think I was thinking about this amber ales.
Okay.
I remember that's probably the first beer that I ever made was an amber ale at a offshore ale company in Massachusetts, and I just remember thinking like, it's kind of a shit, either drink an IPA or drink a brown ale. You know, it's like, kind of like, I don't know. It's not an Irish red. It doesn't have that same roastiness as an Irish red. It's kind of middle of the road. So I guess it has a place, but it's not really it's probably the bottom of the list. But again, I don't hate it. If I was only served an amber ale, I'm sure it'd be good. But yeah, that's probably my least favorite.
All right, Ant, flipping it to you.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick one.
Yeah, no. ciders and seltzers, I'm fine with drinking them. You know, there's a time and place for them for sure. I'll have a bunch of beers and then you have a seltzer and you're like, oh, I can keep on going for a little while because it's a little bit lighter and stuff like that. But I don't know, like in the beginning, I was not a big fan of super like heavy bourbon barrel beers or anything like that. And it wasn't. I like them a little bit better now, but maybe it was just wherever I had them. You can get a little too boozy with them and you gotta like kind of work that fine line. We just came out with a really good rum barrel aged Irish extra stout, but it's just that's why it's tough because I don't know if it's my least favorite. I definitely will always try something that's in a barrel. I'll always try something that's in a barrel because it that's a whole different type of but that's another aspect of brewing that's really cool. Breweries that have really good barrel work aspects.
So your least favorite is barrel cask kind of beer.
Make
a decision.
Give me. I'm making it. Yeah.
I'm putting you on the spot.
Just because it can. I mean, sometimes you can. I've just had more bad beers in the sense of like just being too boozy. And not getting those characteristics that they advertise as. And that's a tough thing too, is when a brewery has this big description of that beer and you're not getting those flavors, that can kind of be disappointing in a sense. So
I got
you. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so before we jump into the fun questions and some other things outside of beer, I have a couple more just real quick. One being, maybe, what are some common like misunderstandings maybe people have about beer making? You know, like I think a lot of people when they think of beer making, they think of their buddy's dad or someone in the bathtub trying to, you know, get something going, which is just furthest from the truth. Because I think if there's one thing people learn from this episode is there is a true art and a lot of science and integral things that go into making beer. And like you guys said, I think the consistency of that, there's so much that goes into being consistent. So maybe what are some maybe misunderstandings either that you've heard or you think are out there about beer making as a whole? And we'll start with Anthony this time.
This was a tough one because like, I'm more of the newer side of brewing. You know, I know it's been around for ages and the experience out of it, I think more people nowadays have a better understanding of beer and the craft beer industry. The only ones that I've really seen have been stouts or darker beers tend to be like heavier or higher in alcohol. And that's not the case in my opinion. I mean, our most popular stout, Caramel Macchiato, is not high in alcohol. And it's not that heavy at all. So I think that's one of them for sure that I've seen. Also that beer has to be, you have to drink it cold, everything like that. Now there's certain styles, and I brought up cask beers. They can be served at room temperature, at least, excuse me. But yeah, so I guess those are the two that I've, kind of noticed. Maybe
don't our friends over the pond in England drink beers at like room temp? Isn't that like a thing? Yeah.
Yes.
Man. Yeah. Exactly. So, okay. Oh, wait, hang on. Jay was about to jump in on that. Go ahead. Correct me if you need to.
Well, it's really like it's supposed to be served at cellar temperature, which is 55 degrees. Okay. I think that's a misconception.
See, I was about to say right now we just made one. We literally just made one. Perfect. Right.
I even said room temperature. As a correction. Yeah.
There you go. Misconceptions happening right here. Jay, anything outside of obviously that one?
I think that one thing that I misunderstood as well was the fact that light beer, specifically like light lagers, are easy to make. And actually those are the most difficult to make. Those lightest lagers are the most difficult in brewing to make. And it's simply put, it's because it's very difficult to hide any off flavors or aromas. You know, you can kind of get away with certain things in an IPA where you can't do in a German Pilsner, for instance, because it's blank. You know, it's very light. It's you're supposed to get, this bready Pilsner malt with a little tiny bit of hop character. So if you have any imperfection, it's going to show. And that's a pretty big misconception. And I was a victim of that as well when I was, getting into brewing.
Okay. And last, I guess, direct beer related question before I jump into stuff outside of beer. Still kind of related, but more fun kind of questions. You know, what do you see yourself doing either in this industry? Probably in this industry if you don't plan on leaving. What is something maybe you see yourself doing or wanting to do in 5 years? You know, did you want to be, in the same role you're at, either, at a specific brewery, or, a lot of people, some people are in a role that they have, like brewmaster, where potentially maybe that's where they want to be. Maybe that's the top they want to be. Or is there another, maybe 5 years down the road somewhere in the industry that you want to be at potentially? Jay to you first. Hold the gotcha on your toes there.
I guess where I want to be in 5 years is drinking a beer on the beach in front of my beachfront, brewery.
I like that.
Yeah, that's where I want to be in 5 years. And ultimately I want to be happy. So I think, that might change. Ultimately I think opening a brewery somewhere on a beach somewhere, that would be pretty sweet,
That's pretty solid. I'll come drink beer at that brewery. Well, for sure.
My parents are from Portugal, so my goal, I have this half goal that in the next 5 to 10 years I'd like to open a brewery in Portugal. But
that'd be awesome. Portugal, I've always wanted to visit Portugal. That's one of my like top places I want to go visit. I would love to go there. Ant, flipping it over to you, same question.
I mean, what Jay said isn't too bad, as long as you're drinking a beer and you're having a good time doing it, what can go wrong? But I've always, like, obviously sports have been in our family for a while, and especially baseball, so I've always wanted to have a brewery and a baseball stadium. Obviously Ooh. The Yankees would be cream of the crop, but I wouldn't want to be having a brewery in New York during the winter time or anything like that. So, definitely that was probably my number one goal.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. So
that's pretty cool.
But also being on the beach couldn't be too bad. So
no, I mean, you know, if you did do that in New York, you know, in the off season, you could just go to the, you know, the beach.
I don't have to be there. I can just make sure everything runs well.
You hire stellar managers and brewmasters, and then you have that going. you do that. Next question, and this is kind of, you know, outside of beer making, and Jay, we'll start with you. Outside of beer making, you know, what are some of your interests and hobbies? Is there, you know, I'm sure, like, you know, obviously a lot of the hobbies and things we do outside of our jobs include beer, but what are, you know, some things, you know, that are interest to you or hobbies that you like doing?
Yeah, I've got too many to list. I've got like so many things that there's so many things that I want to do and I start doing and then I do something else. But really, like, I'm a huge sports fan. So I, you know, I follow soccer and football mostly. I usually watch baseball in October, and that's about it.
Makes sense.
Otherwise, I like to paint. I like to draw, stuff like that.
Cool.
I don't have a ton of time for it, but that's kind of it. I live for weekend sports, and
who are your teams, real quick? Just gotta ask.
As far as
football and baseball. I mean, let's start with football, and we'll go to baseball.
Well, I'm from Massachusetts, so if I was...
Oh, so he's a Patriots fan.
It's the greatest team on earth. Yes, the Patriots.
You should have known that, too. And don't say you're like a Red Sox fan, too, then.
I'm a Red Sox fan in October. And
when they make it, when they happen to be there.
Right, yeah. Right. And then for soccer, I grew up watching this Portuguese team. I don't really follow them as much, but... I ended up watching when I was working in Massachusetts, the person that I learned how to brew from, he was from England and he was a big Liverpool fan. And so he got me into Liverpool. So that's kind of been my team for the last 15 years, you know.
That's cool. Hey, that's tight. That's tight. And real quick for the fans, because I know besides doing this sometimes, what are some of, I know we're a big baseball family. Are there any hobbies or interests I don't know about that you'd like to share?
Well, real quick, Jay, Joe's a Falcons fan, so
yeah, we didn't have to bring that up. Ant's birthday, fun little side tangent story. My brother's birthday is March 28th, 3/28. Yeah. And I always tell myself, like, okay, I gotta send a text, but every year, my buddy Kai will send me a text on March 28th that's like, happy 3/28 day, and I literally can't take it anymore. Like, if you go to the whole story, I take full responsibility that we're the reason we lost that Super Bowl, but that's time for another story. Go back to that.
Sorry to put you in that situation, Joe.
My team will forever be one of the biggest Super Bowl. Yeah.
I can't speak for anything that you don't know. I mean, but no, besides sports, I love snowboarding. It is. Yeah, when we have a chance to go, for sure. Definitely snowboarding. I don't know. I'd take advantage of the days where we're not doing stuff. I like relaxing. For sure. Like going out to wineries and breweries and stuff like that. But especially Marissa loves doing that as well. So it's nice having someone that you can go out with as well. But just really
that's
relaxing.
That's a good segue point, actually, because I have a question for both of you, and Jay, we'll flip it to you. Do you find that, like, when you're having free time with family or your wife, or, you know, when you're with people, that, you know, when you're having a beer, like, do you tend to, like, analyze it more, or do you think, like, maybe you're able to, like, I mean, you probably know what you're looking for, but do you ever find, like, you're just like, I know what I like, I'm gonna take this, sip on it, you know? Or do you find yourself, you know, some people, like, or, you know, if you're really, especially, like, since you guys are really into your craft, do you, you know, when you get a new beer or when you're out just with family, friends, and you have a beer, do you take the time to, you know, flaunt your stuff a little bit?
Let's see. I try not to be that guy that spends too much time, most of my time sniffing the beer. I don't like to be the center of attention, so I try to not talk about beer when I'm out with friends and drinking beer. But yeah, ultimately, I mean, it's in kind of inevitable. I'm sure Anthony's going to say the same thing. It's inevitable that when you order a beer, you smell it, you look at it, and you do some sensory on it. And yeah, so I always do it. I always analyze it. I just try not to make it a big thing.
How can you not? How can I mean, I did the same thing with like if I did technology stuff, I'm always curious about things. Like, right. I get that. And similar to you, do you just, you know, internally, do you analyze it? Or you just like, all right, like it's in there. And if anybody asks, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, of course. The first beer I have, I pour into a glass, swirl it around, and look at shade, toss it to the light to see if it is. Yeah, no. I don't do any of that. I will nothing beats going to get a 30 rack of Bud Light and just, you know, having a good time with your friends. Like I, yeah, you know, you appreciate having those beers for sure. But no, to Jay's point, yeah, you know, being in industry and stuff, you do those little nuances and then not make a thing out of it. But no, I certainly do not.
True.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard not to, but yes. Yeah. It's hard not to, but it's not like I'm, yeah.
To what Jay was saying before about light beer, when you're like shotgunning and doing something, you're like, man, it must have been hard for these guys to do that. Go back. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, this was really hard to do. And then just based off of the flow of the last couple of questions, and I'll lead with this, because I don't think I've ever asked you this question. Are there any like topics, interests, charities, you know, things that you find really close to you? As you guys probably learned from this, the main point of why I do this show and what I'd like to do is this: I love learning about people and what they do, different backgrounds, you know, what you do, what I do, what someone else does. It could be completely different, but it's still a good opportunity just to learn from people. And, you know, you find out things you may want to try yourself. So are there any like topics or interests or, like I said, charities and things like that, that like you're really close to, or like things that, you know, you either wish people knew about, or like you wanted something like, you know, to give a shout out to? Ant, starting with you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, starting with you. Because the way that the next question goes, I want to ask Jay.
Fair enough. topics, interests, charities. No, I mean, like, staying in the industry. Yeah, no, you can always learn about beer and you know, coming in with an open mind to a brewery. I know, no, yeah, I'm just saying, yeah, just as that aspect. As far as like charities and fundraisers, Joe, I mean, and Jay, you saw too, you know, very close to me is Chris Fell, Jacob's disease. Best friend Daniel passed away at a very early age of it. It's been 3 years now. So he was one of the youngest to ever pass away from it. It's a very rare prion disease, neurodegenerative disease, like one in every million people, you know, can be diagnosed by it. So there is still no cure. So always trying to raise awareness for that. It's definitely tough for anyone that's in that position. As far as any other charities or anything, I know Old Bus said, you know, Ike and Julie, their daughter, Finley's March, you know, they do a 5K every year that they just did last weekend. Cool. And she was a big environmental friendly, like a lot of the initiatives they do is in honor of her. So yeah, that's definitely awesome. shedding light to that too. It's just always, my biggest thing is you never know who you're going to meet, and always putting yourself in their footsteps, you know, how would they be treated in that situation? So yeah. So always coming with an open mind and getting to know someone before judging them, all that fun stuff. But yeah.
Flipping it over to you, Jay, anything that you want to raise awareness to, or things that are important to you, wish people knew more about, things like that.
There are a bunch, but I'll keep it short and sweet.
Share as much as you want, man.
Well, that's the thing. I try not to share much about. So basically, one thing that I'm kind of, I try to bring awareness to, but I'm also, like I said, I don't try to put myself at the center of attention. But, you know, this mental illness is pretty prevalent in my family. So I try and my brother's got schizophrenia, which is a pretty serious. This in itself. And so, but mental illness period. So I try to like, even my management style, I try to be empathetic and always be, readily available. You know, I don't really talk about it much, but I want to help. Other things, like more lighthearted things, or, you know, I'm an animal lover. I don't have any kids, but I have a really cool dog who's cooler than most. And my wife and I always we donate every month to the Humane Society.
Awesome.
Yeah, but otherwise, you know, I definitely wanted to bring up Finley's Green Leap Forward, which Anthony already did.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, really cool. You know, charity that was named in honor of Ike and Julie, the owner of Old Busted's daughter, who passed away. So, but yeah, those are really, like I said, I try to do things in the background, you know.
Yeah. It's always good to keep yourself like busy with that kind of stuff, and always just, you know, I think it's what everyone's kind of saying is, you know, always kind of, you know, make sure you those kind of things are just as important as the things you do in your day to day. And those are, I think, important things for people to know about and, you know, just to have more background on and understanding for. And now a complete flip side and a question I love looking forward to. In fact, I ran into a buddy this past weekend who equated it to, you know, without getting into it, you know, we used to ask people, you know, the question, how much could you bench or how much could you lift? Like, how strong are you? This is just a different variation of that question. So similar to the movie Step Brothers, you know, where Dale and Brennan, if you're not familiar with the film, I'm sure Jay, you may be, but first I should, have you seen the movie Step Brothers?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So when Dale and Brennan are walking to the, when they're walking over to the playground and they come across the school, Chris Kardaki, and they're going to fight, and they just, you know, they get the shit kicked. Similar to that situation, how many fifth graders do you think you could fight or take down before they overpower you?
I think at least one.
That's a fair answer. I gotta respect that. I was curious to see which way you're gonna go, because like I thought you were like, it's a tough, fifth graders are built different now. They're getting recruited by guys like Saban. You don't know what they're coming up with. They're built different.
Guys like Saban.
Oh, and I have to go ahead.
They're also on their phones so much, so I don't think they would see it coming. So I would just blindspot. I would take out as many as I could. You know what I mean?
I think that's a great topic that you bring that up, because a lot of different people bring up variables to different things. And I think that's a variable no one's talked about yet is kids that are just glued to their phones. So naturally, when you get to that playground, they're going to probably be looking down at it. So you've already got a step ahead of them. And I want to make a point. When I was sharing, whenever I shared these episodes and I do these things, I actually had some friends from across the pond that I don't know via Reddit. That when I asked this question, they got confused because the way they do schooling over there, it's like fifth year, sixth year, seventh year kind of thing. So for friends across the pond listening, same kind of question, but you know, as I believe the conversion rate is a fifth grader here is like a sixth year, seventh year there. So for those listening across the pond, you know, same kind of question, just flip out fifth grader for sixth year. And has your answer changed at all since I've asked you this last time?
Probably not. I'm still sticking to that 10 to 15 range. Gotcha. But Jay does. Jay,
this kid thinks,
well, Jay brings up. Now that you bring up the point with the phones, yeah, I'm gonna really stick with it. But that was a good one, because I don't think that we've heard anyone that has said the phone.
No.
Aspect.
Phone is
and
deep.
You know.
I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
What were we saying, Jay?
I didn't have a cell phone.
Yeah.
Yep. No, I mean, well, that's why we're probably built different. I think it's just one of those things where, like, you know, it, like, you could like quickly be like, "Hey, look at that TikTok real quick," and they look down, and then you swift kick to the face, and it's like, "Haha, I got him now." That's I think you bring up a good point that fifth graders are just glued to their phones, which, you know, I get because, you know, everything's technology based nowadays. But I get that. I appreciate you answering that question. That's a question I ask.
I would say, though, is I would be – the reason why I'm sticking with 10-15 is because I would utilize the playground as well. So, I think I could knock down a couple kids on a swing set or, you know, something like that. Or
with a good kick?
I don't know.
I get that. I get that. But, no, my buddy this past weekend, we were at a Halloween party, and he had mentioned to me he was listening to the show, and he really likes the question. And he was like, you know, you used to ask people, you know, how much you lift, how much can you bench? Now you just go up to your friend. It's like, well, how many fifth graders do you think you could fight? You know, it's just like a different way of gauging someone's strength. Also, I'd be curious to see if down the road people use this in interviews and stuff. But again, thank you so much for participating in that question. I love asking it to everyone and anyone. So that's very fun to, you know, now we have the perspective of a few brewmaster and cellar manager of what they think they can do. Before I let you both go, you guys have been great guests. Thank you so much for sharing everything about the beer industry and, you know, the ins and outs of that career. I think a lot of people will gain a lot from this and really want to know what goes into it more and more. I think you might have gained a few more, you know, occupants in the industry. Before I let anyone go, does Jay, starting with you, do you have anything else you wanted to share, or is there anything else before I let you go that, you know, you were interested in, or just last comments about beer, anything you wanted to share?
Beer is good, man. Beer is good. Keep drinking it.
No, beer is good.
Joe, thank you so much for having us. I'm happy to have beer with you in person at some point.
We definitely need to make that happen. For sure. We will. We'll get that going. And before I let you go, and anything else, do you have anything?
No, no, same old, same old. Thank you. Thank you once again for being on. And we'll definitely have a beer for sure. Well, obviously we'll have a beer for sure, but yeah, the three of us will definitely make it happen. And we'll talk about other things besides beer, and we'll shoot the shit and
about beer in fifth graders easily.
Yeah, baby fifth graders. Yeah.
I can't thank you both enough for coming on. It was a lot of fun. I think Jay, that might be the tagline of it all. It's beer's good. And with that, we'll head out to the outro of the show. But thank you guys very much.
Appreciate
Cheers,
it.
Fellas.
Cheers.